feel like conflicted within my brain. All these contradictions got me feeling strange. Is this the face, or is this the way?
I wanna make non-stop profit. I wanna make a non-profit. Close down the store when I go shopping. Open up the floor for a close topic. And relax on the beach in remote tropics. But grind like I'm broke and I'm so jobless. Feeling like it's me against the world. It's the other way around. We polluting and we won't stop it. I wanna stay at home and play Xbox. But my homies keep on hitting up my inbox. Say it's been a long time since they see me. So I'm cutting off the TV and I meet them at the next spot. I think I want a job in the office. I am the epitome of where the boss is.
And that's the line why you like it. I think I want a job in the office. Hey, what's happening? It's Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And I'm Chris Lambert.
Go ahead and say, hey, we're three guys on. We got Chris Lambert sitting in with us, and that's why you like this song. I think I got a job sitting in an office. That's why you like
well,
this. Well,
this guy, I thought I would play this because this guy's name Odyssey. His real name is Amir Muhammad, but his name's Odyssey. And he's from the Maryland, D.C. area.
Maryland.
And I saw him in concert at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn earlier this month. And he was, like, I'd always liked him, but after I saw this show, I just, like, fell in love with his work even more because he was a good performer. But there's these guys at the show that were kind of, like, pretentious, and they were kind of like, oh, let's see what he's about. And he did this song, and they were skeptical until they heard this song. Because they was like, one guy was like, this nigga's rapping my life.
Also, they were killing him softly.
Yeah, because he was rapping about, like, this song is called Contradictions Maze. So it's like, you know, like, I want to stay home and play Xbox, but my homies keep hitting me up on my inbox. I need to kick it. I want to be rich, but I, you know, he's just talking about, like, the one line where that I really like, he's like, I cook dinner at home. And I made that, but I really want Shake Shack. But so it's
and like, you're like, he's rapping my life,
he's
nigga.
He's
rapping to you.
Yeah,
he's talking to me.
He's talking to me.
I want Shake Shack.
But he's really good. Like I first heard him.
Yeah, I might get this. Let me know. It's called
The Good Fight.
I won't remember it. It's late. Oh, yeah. Text me the shit later.
Yeah.
We gotta explain why it's late right now. We are recording on Friday night. It's like 12:20. It's actually Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
Because I'm going out of town.
12:25.
In about 12 hours. And so we don't get to record our normal podcast.
Drinking a Red Bull sugar free.
And so we're only going to do probably one episode this week. Unless we do two short ones.
We might have something special for you guys. I don't want to say anything. We'll see.
But anyway, we're going to do one podcast right now tonight. And then we'll put it out next week on time. And then who knows what will happen after that.
We may have something special for you, but I just don't want to say. Thursday. So
yeah.
this is Monday, Happy Memorial Day. We may have something special for you. We may. What you looking?
I want to make sure the computer is plugged in because it doesn't seem to be.
Is it working?
Oh, it's working, but it's not charging.
So
I want to make sure it's charging.
Yeah, well, that light.
The charger is not plugged in.
That light just flickered.
Yeah. Well, that's the lamp. The lamp flickered. Maybe I'll use the lamp's outlet.
I think you should.
For the computer. Keep talking, everybody. We'll,
I don't need the lamp.
We're in the green room, literally backstage of the Arlington
Cinema. So Chris Lambert is in town. My little brother, I treat him like a little brother at this point, is in town for, he was featuring for Miss Fortune Feimster at the Arlington Draft House. How was that, Chris?
It's fun. This is night one. We did two shows. This was probably one of the weirdest times that I've done when I've been here.
Like, the crowd.
Yeah, they would be into it and they clap and laugh and then they're done. What you got next? What's next?
They were weird.
They were weird, you guys.
It's kind of a weird crowd.
They were cool
know?
Though, and it just seemed like the reception that I got after the show.
I'm texting with Josh Coderna about it right now.
Okay,
Josh Coderna, MC.
They were. He's got this great bit about his braces.
Yeah,
so funny.
He has adult braces.
Yeah,
he just got adult braces.
They're cool though. Like the reception after the show was just like, "Oh my god, you're really good." I was like, "Oh, cool."
Yeah, I was nice. Just sitting outside with you, and you were getting rushed by fat white girls and lesbians.
Yeah, well, no, and middle-aged white women. That's my demographic.
Yeah,
that's
fat white girls, middle-aged white women.
There was a skit.
Lesbians.
Lesbos.
This is so shitty.
Of any color.
There was a thin white woman that told me she was going to be across the street, and I was like, I'm sorry, I have to be at a podcast. So
you blew her off for us.
Yeah, yeah.
You did blow her off for us. I was standing right there.
She was. Was she? How was she? Was she?
She was cute.
She was cute. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She
all right.
Was cute.
Was she with a bunch of friends?
Yeah, she was with a bunch of friends.
All female.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would have been. You would have had obstacles.
Yeah.
Big obstacles.
Big obstacles.
So many obstacles.
Like outside linebacker sized obstacles.
Jesus Christ.
like middle linebacker, strong safety sized obstacles.
The views of Randolph Terrence do not reflect the views of Chris Lambert.
I mean, he's fat shaming over here.
I know.
Wait a minute.
Just hit him with a swim move.
I didn't see these girls. I'm assuming you're saying they're fat. I don't know if you're fat shaming. You could be shaming on some other level.
I would just say you'd have to put a swim move on them.
I'd have to Barry Sanders my way out
of her clutches. A head fake's not going to be enough.
Against her
basketball moves ain't going to do it.
It's her Richard Dent moves.
requires football moves.
Yeah.
You know, and then if worse comes to worse, you hit her with that 72 Oakland linebacker style running curls line.
You do an illegal move?
Yeah.
A move that's outlawed?
Now, because of that, you know.
Yeah, that's how you treat a woman.
That other comic we were talking to opened up about his divorce.
I didn't get to talk to him about that. It was deep.
Randolph is famous.
Yeah, I kind of figured it was going to be a story.
Randolph is famous for putting people's business out in the street.
I don't mention names.
Okay.
At all. Something like that. I don't mention
names. Yeah, okay.
You know, but if you put your shit out there on Facebook, I got no problem talking about it at that point. But
okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
But if it's just a conversation, you know, this is a conversation Andy and I were having earlier. He didn't get to hear it. You would have liked
I had to walk away. I was not there. I always missed the great moments.
Andy walks away from the drama a lot.
Well, no, sometimes, I mean, I don't know when this conversation took place, but sometimes you got to go do
you
shit.
You were going to go with the equipment.
I think this time you had to.
That's all. You're just going to go with the equipment.
Yeah.
I asked him. I was like, hey, man, tell me about this.
Chris is losing out on a hookup for the podcast. I'm losing out on a good story to get
so
the
literally
equipment.
While I'm having this conversation, right behind me, Chris is trying to fucking stiff arm.
that woman was just being a little more boisterous, but the girl that initially came up to me was the one that was an attractive girl. The girl that I would have been attracted to.
Man.
But, you know. It is what it is.
Yeah, you know.
It is.
So what's been going on for you in New York?
What's going on for me? Just trying to work more, trying to do more road, trying to get into the city more. Because if you're not, some people think if you live in another state. I live in Jersey. It's a hop, skip, and a jump away.
You live in New York.
They think you live
Hoboken,
Antarctica.
Excuse me.
It's Hackensack.
Hoboken.
It's Hackensack.
Oh, you live in Hackensack?
Yeah. So one guy was like, yeah, man, if you want to do my show, man, just let me know when you're in town. I said, you book me. I'll be there. Let me know.
Yeah. So, I live 20 minutes away.
Yeah. It's not that far. But no, it's been fun just trying to. I'm at a point in my career where I'm trying not to plateau, like, you know, just trying to force myself to
right.
Gonna be a whole lot of plateaus.
Oh, of course,
me. I'm on one right now.
But yeah, just
speaking of that, I'll be in New York Thursday night. I have two spots at the Broadway Comedy Club. Thursday night, I'm there. I'm on the 9 o'clock show and the 11 o'clock show. The times are, I don't know. I'm on the 9 o'clock show, and I'm also on the 11 o'clock show. The 11 o'clock show is a later set. I do remember that.
And if you hang out on the sidewalk after the show, you will be part of the next podcast.
Yes.
You'll be shamed.
Yes.
Whoever you are.
Yeah, that's
whoever
true.
You are.
Come out, loiter for a while.
Yeah, loiter and talk to me. And, your shit's going to be on this podcast.
Yeah.
So Thursday the 28th, I believe that's the date.
That would be the date. Yeah, that's Thursday.
Yeah, I'm at the Broadway Comedy Club in New York City for two shows on 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock show.
Broadway Comedy Club in Broadway, in Times Square, rather. Sort of.
And then Friday night, I'm on Courtney's show at the Cellar.
The Comedy Cellar?
The Creek in the Cave. Courtney has a show at the Creek in the Cave at 6 o'clock. He took over Eli's show. 6 o'clock. I'm going to go do that.
The open mic.
And I'm going to watch Ted's show. Ted's there for the week at the Creek.
Right.
That's his last show. So I will be at the Creek in the Cave Friday night, and after that show, I'm probably going to drink heavily.
And you'll be on. You'll be the subject of someone else's podcast.
Probably.
Someone else will have a podcast. Like,
I saw this dude peeing himself.
Who's that dude, man? It was fucked up, man. Yeah, I mean, probably. Jesus. Even for New York, that was
weird. I'll be doing that. And then I don't know what I'm doing Saturday. Oh, I know Saturday I'm going to go train at Gleason's. I'm going to go work out at Gleason's boxing gym, tentatively, depending on what happens Friday night.
Right.
And Sunday I'm coming back.
You taking the bus?
Coming back, yeah. The Jewish bus.
Vamoose?
You don't want to take the train?
I do want to take the train, but I'm going with another guy. He was like, take the bus. I was like, ugh.
It's just so
highly regulated industry. Maybe you guys can hear the music.
We're backstage at the Draft
House. That
girl
was singing. I don't know that.
Well, the staff is cleaning up.
That Indian girl from England. So they what was her name?
Who? What are you talking about?
The one that was on this the
one
that put her middle finger up on
the paper
planes.
Yeah, that girl. What's her name?
Oh, shit.
M.I.A.?
M.I.A.
Yeah, thank God.
That's her fucking horrible song.
They're playing music because they're cleaning up the Draft House.
Did everybody say, it's like hip-hop. I'm like,
you're shaming everyone.
Yeah. He hates women.
I do hate women. I hate them all.
Every single one.
Do you know, like, I get hit up on Facebook by these people that don't, these women that, like, are from other countries. And they have no. So I don't. I think some.
Are you sure these are women?
Maybe it's a guy, but they don't have any game. They'll like.
These are women on Facebook.
Yeah, I think they might be.
Are they? How do they find you?
I don't know. Just they say, "You seem like a sweet and nice man. Do you like to come to Norway? I guess she's saying.
Is she going to give you a link to her personal website?
That hasn't happened yet.
Has she given you a picture?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Did you friend this dame?
Yeah, I just
accept this dame.
this freaking broad. This dame.
So wait a minute. She unsolicited sent you an email.
Yeah.
And then. I see. For me, I immediately like just delete those.
Delete.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because I think they're gonna like send me a link to a website where they want me to pay for shit, or some kind of spam account for whatever reason. I don't think they're ever really interested in me whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't think they are either.
You don't think they're interested in me? What are you trying to say?
I'm saying to me, like I was agreeing with saying no, that they don't. They're not into me either. I posted this thing about shared a link about Steph Curry and his daughter. And how, like, for the most part, it's fucking adorable. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, the media was talking about how, oh, this is getting in the way of the pressers at the end of the game.
We can't do our job.
We can't do our jobs. And it's like, okay, but when Antonio Cromartie can't remember the fucking names of his kids, it's funny as shit.
Right.
But then you have, like, just an adorable kid at the end of the game, just being a kid at 1:30 in the morning.
Well, you know what's funny is, I don't know if it's funny, haha, but I kind of got, at first I was like, definitely agree with you. And then I kind of got half-ass turned around on it. But I could easily be swayed right back off of it.
But it's like,
It's like, I get why reporters would be mad.
It's a little annoying.
I don't want to fuck with your kid while I'm trying to talk to you and I'm trying to listen to you and I got to fucking deal with your child.
It's annoying, but nobody, what was going to happen?
As a parent, I wouldn't have my kid up there. And my kid's gorgeous, and I wouldn't have her up there.
Yeah, and like
she's also not two.
I probably wouldn't
even
have
when
had
she was two, I wouldn't have her up there.
I'm just saying, but she behave herself better now.
Oh, yeah. And I could bring her up at 7. I could just tell her to sit down, and she'd just sit down next to me. But I still wouldn't do that.
But he's not the first person to do that.
He's not, but that doesn't make it right.
It doesn't. It's,
you know, I'm not even saying it's this wrongly bad thing. I could easily go the other way and be like, who gives a fuck? But it's fucking baseball, basketball. Who cares? It's a fucking nonsense press conference. But they do have like a actual job to do. So I don't know. I'm of two minds.
What are you
going to
say? Steph Curry scored 30 plus points. He did it. Steph, what did you do?
Got to do their job, man.
Well, I shot the ball. It went in.
It's stupid questions, and they got to do their job. You know, so
my teammates helped me out.
It's fucking dumb, and everybody has to do, but everybody has to play their part, I guess. That's what I'm saying. I'm of two minds of it.
It was like 5 minutes of adorable shit.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You know? What if she was ugly, though?
Well, then it would have been
He's been like, get that fucking hunchback child
shaming
off the fucking stage.
More shaming.
One of her legs is longer than the other. Can you get her off the fucking stage?
Well, is she a friend of the girl who was talking to Chris earlier?
Wow.
Fucking trolls.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I personally, I think sports media, especially like on that level, I think they project a lot of their issues onto athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that.
When they talk about athletes being egocentric, I think a lot of the media members have out-of-control egos.
Yeah.
They have the entitlement. They have a lot of the shit that they accuse athletes of, and you notice it especially in these moments.
Mm-hmm.
The entitlement that came out of that. Granted, yeah, you're at work, it's your job, but the guy's going to give you the fucking canned answers, and
right.
You know he's going to. And yeah, it might take you a little bit longer to get your quote. Literally, a little bit longer, 15 seconds longer. So he can say, shut up for a second and do his thing. Or maybe he's a little distracted while he's giving his quote. But all the shit that they say about athletes, a lot of it is about them, and they're projecting mm-hmm. it onto mm-hmm. athletes.
Right.
And it happens time and time again. You see it all the time. So I can't take them seriously. I don't know if they really care about getting their deadline met. I think their ego was bruised because someone else was getting the attention when they had the chance to ask their question of Steph Curry.
That's why I said I could be swayed off of this.
I just for me, it's sports media. I don't really give them much.
But I do believe that they're trying to do a job. But having said that, who gives a fuck? It's fucking
dumb
after game basketball presser.
He's just trying to raise a daughter.
Gives a shit. Yeah, he's trying to raise a daughter. Raise
the black guy trying to light skin black guy. It was too much light skin excellence in that room, and that's what fucked everybody.
Fuck
up.
His mom is gorgeous. Have you seen? I just
she's
saw
so
some
hot.
Pictures of his mom. I mean, you always like, yeah, his mom's bad, but then you see her, you're like, God damn, his mom is fine. She's on that Benjamin Button shit.
He's like the Tom Brady of the NBA, except like it's just like his whole family.
What's the baby mama look like?
She's gorgeous.
Is she white?
No, she's just light skinned.
She's really like him, or she's light skinned?
Yeah, she's a little swirl. She's light skinned.
Like him.
Hot,
like
light skinned girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
The Matrix baby.
I don't know about that, but.
I know the little girl is. She's like my little girl. I was like, yeah,
I think she's black, though. She's just like straight.
The mother?
Yeah, yeah, her mom, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
the light skin was strong in this one.
I'm glad that Steph Curry's getting busy doing his thing, because I always say I really liked his story because he's in that hotbed. He grew up in that hotbed of talent of like with all those schools.
I love how now that he's doing well, everybody has the same story. When he came out, I thought he wasn't going to be anything. Oh,
yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, shit, he's like.
I dedicated an episode of my podcast to him 2 years ago.
The Mundane Festival.
The Mundane Festival. I called episode 30. It was pretty cool because I was actually in San Francisco, and he's from this team's from the Bay Area, and I dedicated the episode
Mark
to
Mark Curry
him.
Told me he rents his house.
Or he did.
I don't know if he still does.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was when he didn't have a kid.
Yeah. He was single. He was a single man. And he was renting his house in the Bay Area.
But it's just, it's what it is.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what he told me.
That's what he said.
Yeah. And Andy, you bring up a great point, because all you hear from most of these athletes are these canned answers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're boring. And there's no nuance. Mm-hmm. And so it just makes all this. I shot really well.
Got to try really hard.
Just try hard with teammates.
Hustle.
It's not just me out there. It's the whole team.
Hustle.
And, they really they did it. They did it, had some good adjustments in the second half. We had
hustle.
To overcome that. And, you're going to make a run. They're going to make a run. We
hustle
just got to withstand it. We got to just weather the storm over
hustle.
Here. And we got to work hard. And
hustle.
And
play.
I'm being told hustle in my ear. I'm being told hustle. There's a guy backstage who's feeding me these quotes. Hustle. Got to hustle. Hustle and flow. That's what we call our offense, hustle and flow.
Yeah.
Hustle, mention
and,
it again.
We're gonna come back. There's only one game. We got to come back in the next game. And,
come back and hustle.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen. We gotta make sure we stay focused. And,
hustle.
Hey, get down from there. Anyway, that was a distraction.
Yeah.
Hey, hold on a second, little kid. Oh, he's gonna say this.
Come and sit with daddy.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Marshawn Lynch was so much fun, or even when
Barkley
so
was a player.
Yeah.
That's
Marshawn
why they're
Lynch,
held in such
really,
high regard.
Marshawn Lynch, I didn't really care for him.
I didn't give a shit.
That one, I don't really
either.
Care for.
But it's like I get what he's doing, and I really don't give a shit. But
he's angling to get paid.
It's just gossip. It's all it is gossip for men. Yeah. And we suck it up. We love it.
You know, the one I have noticed when Andy was talking about reporters it started, I really noticed it with Tiger. Like, Tiger has reporters that he doesn't talk to.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And all of them shit on him, the ones he doesn't talk to. They've shit on him. They wrote books about him.
Because they're entitled.
Yeah.
But he doesn't talk to them. The minute he starts, he's like, I don't really want to talk to this particular writer. All of a sudden, he's the horriblest person on planet Earth, and they shit on him.
Who did?
Like, the only reason you're doing that is because you know he doesn't talk to you. John Junior Feinstein is the biggest one.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't like him.
And then
Feinstein is a classic.
Sally
one of those,
Kellerman's father. Kellerman?
No.
Sally Richardson? Sally, that's she's a writer. She wrote actress. Sally Kellerman's actress. She was Lance Armstrong's biographer.
Okay.
Her father is like this Pulitzer Prize winning writer out of Tiger don't talk to him. So he shits all over Tiger. He said the other day that Tiger hasn't played. Yeah, Tiger won his majors because the competition wasn't as deep as when Jack played. Like, oh, shut the fuck up, man.
No, it was still
so
way deeper.
Phil Mickelson's not as good as these fucking deeper. Scrubs. Come on, man. You're making shit up now.
He's still one of the greatest golfers to ever play.
Come
if
on,
he
man.
Breaks the record or not.
Give me a fucking break.
Won't.
No, you don't like him because he don't talk to you.
And
so you're
going
to shit on
him. Unlike, you know, football and basketball, they don't have like the same press conference thing where you have to sit in front of all these people.
Mm. Yeah.
And granted, in basketball, I guess, Russell Westbrook did that where he refused to talk to a guy. I guess you can say, I don't want to talk to him. Don't call on him. But generally, they're all in the room, so they might get their questions in. In golf, I don't think it's quite like that. I know they have press conferences. I don't think they have the same rules. They don't have one, you know, in the NFL, it's every week, multiple times a week if you're the quarterback. So Tiger could freeze someone out.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, fuck you.
And he does. Yeah, he's not shy about it. He's like, I don't talk to that dude.
Well, on the other end, I like to listen to Dan Le Batard, and he doesn't want to have quarterbacks on the show. Mm-hmm. He's like, they don't talk about anything.
What if he gets it from Tony Kornheiser? Tony Kornheiser refuses to have any athletes on the show.
Because they're boring.
It's
the same thing. They're boring. Most of them are.
He'll have ex-athletes on, really smart ones, mm-hmm. but somebody playing now, he's like, nope.
Yeah, well, the ones that the ex-athletes have been, they've gotten years to
it's
get.
It's like a guy like Joe Morgan.
Well, they had years. You know,
Does he talk on shows?
Yeah, yeah, Joe Morgan on a couple of times.
In front of the mic. A 21-year-old or even a 24-year-old is kind of uncomfortable talking and giving those answers. And they get coached. They go to those fucking symposiums where they're like, okay, rule one, don't rape anyone.
Yeah.
Rule two, don't lose all your money. And rule three, say hustle a lot.
Hustle.
You got it? Break.
Right.
Get out of here, kids.
Hustle. Yeah, Kornheiser had Joe Morgan on one time. He had one of the greater lines about how Joe Morgan was just talking and he was saying something. He said, yeah, you know, I was talking to Hank Aaron about such and such thing. And then after they finished the interview, Kornheiser goes, imagine in your life when you could just say in passing, yeah, I was talking to Hank Aaron about something, and you're not trying to humble brag or impress somebody.
Right.
You're just saying that in passing. That's how good your life is. Like, yeah, I was talking to Hank Aaron the other day.
Oh, call him Henry.
We were out eating lunch, and I was talking to him about such and such a thing. He was like, yeah, that's where Joe Morgan's at with his life. That's why he has a guy like Joe Morgan on. As opposed to any of us sitting in this room. He has, however, had Dan Ninen on his show.
He has had Dan Ninen on his show. Well,
Kornheiser did?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about Dan.
Wow.
We probably shouldn't.
We probably shouldn't. No, it doesn't. It's not about us.
Yeah,
it's not about us.
Did we get any part Danny emails?
We got one email that came in today from
one
Monique.
Moni Love.
Monique sent us an email about last week's episodes. Let me pull it up here. And that's the only email we got this
week.
Sock puppet
number three's on today, so we'll
Who's
see.
Who's sock puppet number three?
You right now.
No, I'm not.
We'll see if you rise up the ranks.
Fuck that. I'm a
Haywood
first...
Haywood is at number one right
I'm
now.
I'm not a sock puppet.
It's
I'm
the
a
laugh.
I'm a guest on the fucking podcast. I'm not a sock puppet.
There you
sock
go.
Puppet. I was the first guest, wasn't I?
You were the episode 12.
Yeah.
Jeff Van Gundy is an option for the Pelicans job. Is he thinking about coaching again?
Randall's checking his phone during the podcast.
Yeah. It just popped up in my
email.
Up in my thing.
Monique writes, this is about last week's episodes. Episode 467. Hey, 3GO.
Hey.
Most of the funerals I've been to, we talked about funerals. This is the word she wrote. NIHS. Most of the funerals I've been to, NIHS, always lay on top of the body in the casket. Personally, I've had an aversion to actually walking up to a prone, lifeless body for a while. It's creepy. Wait a minute, people actually get on The body
that's,
itself.
That's,
try to get
that's
in.
Outlandish dumb shit. Take me off. That's
take
outlandish.
Me with them and all that.
Outlandish dumb shit.
That's
they're
like leaning
to
up all on a dead body.
Yeah,
right?
Trying to be the center of attention. You lay across the casket or whatever.
Hey,
you
guys,
climb up on it.
I'm hurt more than you are by this.
That's that kind of shit.
Look at me.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's like a new talent showcase for,
for funerals.
And the award for Griever of the Year goes to.
That's exactly what the fuck that is.
And then Moni continues, yes, Mr. Ghetto. We played Mr. Ghetto last week.
Mr. Ghetto.
Y'all are so right.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You can put anything on top of that bounce music and make it work. I was twerking in my damn cubicle when y'all played it. Speaking of Hammer, Pumps in a Bump is the best song ever.
Because of the
ever.
Dick. Because
it,
of the dick.
Is it the dick?
Because of the dick.
Because of the sock puppet in his
dick.
She doesn't
there's some hot
the
girls in there.
And that fool was the pioneer of the commercial shuck and jive. Now all these niz are skinning and grinning for the man, LOL.
Well, not many of them.
She didn't even mention the dick.
We know what's about
she said it was the best song ever.
It's about the dick. Because Pumps in a Bump ain't even the best Hammer song.
Pumps in a Bump.
Yeah.
Pumps in a Bump.
Yeah, if you hear that song without the video.
It's not even the best song. Get funky, baby. Pumps in a Bump.
He had a because that was from the Funky Headhunter album.
Yeah, that was the comeback.
Yeah. Saw he had that. The lead single was "It's All Good"
when he was running around dressed dressed thuggish,
hanging out with Deion Sanders.
Yeah. Dressed thuggish.
Must be the money era, Deion. Must be the money.
Yeah, and he
must
was going more for money. That like West Coast gangster look. Except none of them wore fucking a Speedos.
Yeah,
in their videos. You never saw Eazy-E walking around with his dick out.
Yeah, and none of them have women talking about them the way she is.
Yeah, well,
so.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Eazy-E.
So the trade-off was
he probably walked around with his dick out. He got AIDS.
You know what's funny? Yeah, that's true. You know what's funny about, as far as West Coast stuff like that? All those fucking thugs loved Hammer.
Wait,
he's
who?
From Oakland. Oaktown.
All of Oaktown.
Not later Hammer, though.
All those Oaktown thugs.
Early
like,
Hammer.
When he was having problems, they would all, they helped him out, man. Like, according to Hammer, but no one disputed him. They're like, yeah, he had, like all his thugs gave him money and
right. Like, they gave him advice. Please, Hammer, don't co-sign for him.
Don't hurt him, Hammer. Don't hurt him, Hammer.
Please,
and
Hammer.
By don't hurt him, I mean don't co-sign for him.
Please, Hammer, put your dick away. I'm trying to give you some money.
Popcorn chicken commercials. Paul Mooney had a bit about that.
It's so
dancing
ridiculous.
For chicken. This nigga's dancing for chicken. Popcorn chicken.
That was a whole bit.
Yeah.
Moni continues.
These niggas don't scare me.
Oh, these fools and their false equivalencies. Talking head lady, kill yourself, please.
LOL.
We're talking about the lady with the gay thing.
LOL.
Oh, the guy, the train conductor.
Train
guy.
Conductor.
Yeah,
ugh.
Yeah. It's the same old deal. These
Sandy
lifestyle
Rios.
Choices.
She popped up again.
These lifestyle choices, being gay, selling dope, having a criminal record, you either deserve to be murdered like a dog in the street or you are bound to crash something, whether it be a train, a car, or another man's anal cavity. Well, that is kind of a train.
Yeah.
That's a different kind
of
a train.
A train.
Yeah.
He was listening to Mighty Real too loud and then he crashed.
His name's not Randolph.
And Monique says, ooh, I was waiting for you to talk about the principal who put her foot in her mouth. Thank you. That was the woman.
I mean, is that?
She's got to go, dude. She can't be a principal.
It was funny as shit, though.
I'm not saying it's not funny.
Look, who's leaving?
What's
all the
funny
black
was
he's
the people
leaving all the black people.
Oh, that's where it got funny.
I was like, well, they were leaving. They
time
were,
to go.
And
that's when everybody was like, time to go.
She dismissed them, and then she realized she should have dismissed them.
It was hilarious. Sometimes racism is hilarious, and that was a moment.
Well, the devil was in her mouth.
The devil was in my mouth.
The devil.
I let the devil
the
in my
devil
mouth.
The devil ejaculated in my mouth.
The and devil.
And then later, he was in my anal cavity.
Bitch.
And my and son threw out the N-word a couple times.
And she started the school, right? She started that school.
I think that's you put up a board of directors.
Yeah.
And they're like, bye, Felicia.
All of them walked out. Look who's leaving, all the black people.
All the black people. And
that's
me
what she
days.
Said out of her mouth. I know what she said in her head.
Yeah. Oh, she was thankful that that's what came out. That wasn't what she was thinking. She was happy as shit that she didn't say the other
she might
thing.
Be able to get another job somewhere. Because right. She's just
look
said,
who's
like,
leaving, all the African-American people. Pipe, pipe, pipe.
Look who's leaving, all the spear chuckers.
Oh, dang. I said the
wrong
word.
Look who's leaving, all the people who were late getting here. Look who's leaving.
I'll just see myself out.
Are they coming or going? It doesn't matter. They're half of them are coming in, just got here, and the other half, look who's leaving, and look who's just arriving.
Who's leaving me? All the people who got chicken grease all over their fingers. Look who's leaving.
Look who just got here. All the porch monkeys just got here, and then the spear chuckers are leaving.
Oh!
Wait, what?
Leaving all this Cajun sparkle residue on. Damn it.
I didn't say the M word.
I didn't say that.
She doesn't get points for knowing what Cajun sparkle is.
Yeah.
Monique, episode 468, she says, I love the story about the students making the dead cats dance.
Oh, my God.
We did that. I'm telling you, man, I've done that shit.
Mainly
I've
because I laugh at inappropriate things. Who hasn't done something inappropriate with an inanimate object? LOL. Well, that's the thing with the dead cat. It's a formerly animate object.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's in it. That's where people have
It's still creepy as shit, though. I don't know if I could do it. But
these are some folks who have done some untoward things with cucumbers, bananas, gerbils, etc. Quite entertaining as always, riffing like no other. Hi, Tim. Peace, y'all. We'll let Tim know you said hi eventually. Yeah, but when you're in seventh grade, you might do some weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like those kids, I mean, I don't know how old they were.
Man, look.
High school.
Still be freaked
when
out.
When we did cats, I think I was in anatomy physiology here. I was a senior. And we were fucking them cats off.
Kung fu battles.
Fucking them off. We were just doing shit with them. You just do after a while. They don't mean anything to you. They're not cats.
Look who's leaving. All the cat lovers.
That's how you feel. You're like, this is not even a real thing.
All the PETA activists. Look who's leaving.
You know? The big thing to do was to find the person who was still hung up on the fact that they were cats and fuck with them.
Right.
You fucking make the cat walk towards them.
Just
know,
a very bullying
that
episode.
Kind of shit.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, oh, you got a problem with cats? What about this cat in your face?
Didn't lie. Yeah, that's pretty much how it went down.
Oh, you know what? You want to cut a cat open? What about this dead cat in your face? They open their book bag later. There's a fucking dead cat in it.
Here's what happened is you take the cat out of the bag. It's in a bag.
You
have to cut it out of the bag. You wash it.
Yeah.
That's
they hate baths, so it's good that it's dead.
They're dead.
They hate
wash
it.
And then from there, it's on to cutting. And that shit lasts like a month. After you put a bag in a bag and you seal it up every day. 20 minutes in, you're like, this thing's not even fucking real, man.
Right. It's a fake cat. Some company in China made these.
Yeah.
Fake dead cats.
I'm telling you, man, once you cut that head off and you start fucking waving it in people's face.
We did a pig's foot one time.
A pig's foot?
Yeah.
Just a foot?
Yeah.
Just a foot?
Did you cook it later?
I think one of the other biology classes did a cow's heart.
I could see that, yeah. Mm. That makes sense.
Big ass fucking heart. That's,
yeah.
It's built like a human's heart. It has four chambers and stuff like that, but it's fucking huge.
Right. You know? It's an enlarged, so you can see all the shit better.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And you can not fuck up as easily. Well, that was the only email we got, so thank you, Monique.
Thank you, Monique.
Anyone who wants to email us, it's threeguyson@gmail.com.
Come on with it.
So send us an email. Let us know what you want to talk about, what you like, dislike, etc. And review us on iTunes and Stitcher, please.
Yeah. So I want to start with a little bit.
Do
you got any shows coming up, Chris, in New York?
Yes, I will be at, where will I be at? I'll be at Two Boots Pizza on Wednesday.
Two Boots Pizza.
In Brooklyn. I've got some shows. I didn't know you were going to pull this out on me, but let's see.
We're going to do it again at the end. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this next week when this show airs, I'll be there. I'll be at Bananas Comedy Club.
Poughkeepsie?
No, that one's not. It's a club called Carmine's Comedy Club up there.
Oh,
They moved to another room.
Bananas?
Bananas is in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not far from the city.
Right.
So I'm going to host two shows there on Friday and Saturday.
Who's on those shows?
Oh, God, I can look in my calendar.
That's this coming. That's the 29th.
Yeah.
30th.
29th and 30th. Do you know Steve Schaefer?
No.
Schaefer. That's who's on the...
Don't know.
That's the headliner.
All right. Steve Schaefer.
Yep. So I'm around.
I got nothing of note, so we'll... We'll skip my plug. You guys want to talk about the Duggar thing? I mean, we've got to be topical. If this is going up.
Well, the first thing is the.
We've got to be topical, sort of.
The riot in Waco.
Oh, yeah. How it was like, where's Al Sharpton?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you heard a lot of that in New York.
Are they thugs?
Yeah. I don't really have a problem with people not calling it a riot. I really don't.
It wasn't really a riot in the sense that we're used to talking about.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with that.
Nine people died, right?
But. Yeah. I do understand I have the same mentality of it. I do understand the unfair coverage aspect of it.
Oh, of course.
As far as media. I mean, I completely get that. I don't like when people claim to not understand what you're talking about. Like, you're actively trying not to understand, you piece of shit. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, it's just people.
You're not that vacant. If you are, I probably shouldn't be talking to you.
It's just. And this is the same thing when the Baltimore situation happened. It's just like anything else. I think in general, people don't have empathy for each other. We're generally just really selfish. And if it's not affecting us, then I don't give a shit. And then if it's somebody that we think might be lesser than us anyway, then we really don't care. And then that's where a lot of the disconnect is, because nobody really wants to, we don't want to feel anything. We just think, people think just because we have Netflix and Chipotle, that shit's great.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, and so a lot of people would need to wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for those who don't know, you all know what it is. There was a gang got into it in Waco.
Like three gangs.
Three gangs.
It was now, like that scene
The banditos I knew about. Yeah, it was.
It was like the scene in Anchorman. You got all the different channels coming together.
The banditos I knew about growing up. Okay. There's banditos everywhere.
The Frito Bandito, remember that commercial?
Yeah, they've been an active gang since I was a kid growing up in Texas.
That's Tim's hometown,
but,
right?
Yeah, Waco. Mm-hmm. But that was like, I at the time thought it was all Mexican. Apparently it's white now, the banditos.
Hmm.
And then they have this new gang, the Bandits. Cossacks, Hell's Angels, blah, blah, D.
Shit's been going down in Waco for a long, David Koresh.
Yeah. It's because it's fucking Texas, man. Anything goes.
And then with the explosion at that...
It's easy to get a gun. It's easy to just live on. There's a lot of land you can just live on.
You can disappear.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit like that that can happen.
Did they say why they were fighting?
Apparently somebody stepped on somebody's foot. It's some black shit.
That's some black shit?
Yeah.
Well, there's been a lot
white folks living black shit.
There's been a lot of different stories.
We're the same.
I just saw this one today.
The cops said that the shooting started inside the restaurant, but now there's video... surveillance video. The restaurant released their surveillance video, and it's like, no, it didn't start in here. There's people in the restaurant running for cover, bikers. It's like they weren't all something started it, and the shooting started. But even when they arrested 170 people, they were arresting people who were just there with a leather jacket on, who were like, I was in the bathroom under a toilet, like hiding. So the stories keep changing, but like this one, Waco biker shooting came after another gang showed up uninvited.
You weren't on the Facebook invite.
Who let them in here?
Yeah, who the fuck are you?
Who let the banditos in here? Did you guys invite the banditos? Yeah. No, I ain't invite no goddamn banditos. We think I'm gay.
Gay.
So whatever it was, some bikers, but that's the thing, like some bikers were shooting and fighting, and all the bikers got arrested basically because profiling, like everyone with a fucking jacket on is guilty basically.
Yeah.
And a lot of them went to jail for like $1 million bond, right?
Wow.
Well, they had a shootout with the cops.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's because so, people were like, "Well, look at these pictures of these cops treating these bikers better than they treat black people."
Well, I agreed with that. But I agree with the opposite.
The cops did shoot real bullets at them.
Yeah, no, I get that. I just agree with the opposite of that. If you are of a people that I've shot bullets at, we've had basically a shootout. I'm not going to sit with my back to you while you're behind a basically, I don't know what the fuck they're
sitting
behind.
On a flatbed or something.
A rope. I don't know what the fuck.
Well, maybe those
they're
are the guys.
Sitting. I'm not going to do that.
Maybe those are the guys who are hiding under tables.
Yeah, I don't trust nobody in a fucking vest.
Hey, so those are the good Cossacks.
At that point.
Those were the good Cossacks.
You know what I mean? I can't trust none of y'all.
You never met a friendly Benito before?
You know? And it's like, well, it's just police. I'm like, if there was ever a time to pull out the National Guard, there would be 150 people you're trying to arrest.
Right.
You know, I don't know what the call, how long it takes the National Guard. I guess you put up the the NG bat signal, maybe.
You got to mobilize.
Then they show up.
You got to have the right. You know, don't just show up in riot gear. You got to like set that up ahead of time.
I was talking about it to people on Facebook, and I'm just like, I don't. Yeah, I get to think about don't call it a riot. Fine. I'm okay with that. I'm just not okay with the optics of it. The optics of it just bother me.
Well, they changed the narrative to make it something different than it is. And it's a fucking shootout.
Yeah. It was a shootout.
It's not really a riot. Yeah. You know.
What bothers me is if it had been a black, first of all, if it had been like Black Biker Week,
yeah,
they wouldn't have been allowed to all be there anyway. If that many black people on motorcycles showed up, that should have got shut down immediately. So that wouldn't have been allowed to happen. And then secondly, if it had been a bunch of black gangs just having a fight, it would have been a riot. And it would be, what's the pathology of the black community?
Do you guys ever
the black biker community specifically?
Exactly.
Do you guys ever get annoyed by the people like, but if it was a black person, then they would have did this. I mean, cause isn't
sometimes
that obvious
reach.
Now?
Sometimes people reach,
but I don't think that's a reach to this case. It's just not a reach because we have evidence of it many, many times.
Right.
That's my problem is that this keeps – you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of this a lot is the black person that dies early in the horror movie.
Okay.
We make jokes about it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it happens, and yet it still keeps getting written that way. Like, why does it still keep getting written that way? At this point, in 2015, why are you still writing it like that? That was my problem with that movie that you saw that had Donald Glover in it.
Oh, and, Lazarus Effect.
He died in the credits.
Yeah.
He died in the trailer. Yeah, he died in the trailer. Yeah. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
It was actually a good movie.
When I watched that in the trailer, I'm like, I'm not going to see that movie. For that reason right there. Well, first when I saw him talking in the trailer, I'm like, he's going to fucking
die. Did he die like toward the end of the trailer at least?
I think it was the middle part of the trailer.
Oh, okay. I was like, damn, this thing done killed this nigga in the trailer.
In the trailer. Fuck. Like, why are you still writing that? That particular thing.
It's a trope now.
Don't you see what we're all talking about? Yeah. We're not making this shit up.
What's the Ted Alexandro has this great bit about like how white people like sports teams, but when they kill black. Look at his show. What is it?
He was at the Stellar. I did it. Yeah.
Is that his?
Is that on I Did It?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like compares like.
Did it at the Cellar. I know it's on his.
Yeah, it's a great bit. He talks about how people don't understand when like black kids get murdered or you like sports and you root for black guys, but you can't understand why.
The Creek.
That's especially did at the Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he did that bit at the Cellar and he put it up where he was at the Cellar talking about
it.
That wasn't on that. That was just a thing he put. He put that particular bit up.
Okay. But it's something that's a part of it that I get annoyed by too. And then it's almost equal to the actual act that happened.
Yeah. Like we were talking earlier about watching Sons of Anarchy. I just get tired of watching white folks doing white folk things. I just do, you know, that's why I never watched Mad Men. I never watched Mad Men.
It's a good show.
I was like, I believe it. Yeah, I'm not saying this. I'm not saying it's not.
I understand.
It probably is.
I overstand.
Tired of watching white people do white people things. I just don't want. I'm like, I don't want to see that.
Do you watch Blackish?
Yes, I haven't in a while. Just only because I miss it. But now I can binge
watch it on demand.
But I like it.
It's really funny.
Really funny, and I think the writing is really sharp on it. I know Ian writes on it.
This article, by the way, that said the fight with the bikers may have been sparked over a parking spot or over someone running over another person's foot. Huh. Or both.
Black shit.
That's how a lot of shit happens,
Both of those things are black shit, by the way.
This is your fed up. It's human shit.
Think you're better than me.
Randolph, come on, man. It's human
and then
stuff.
I saw this thing going around.
Yeah. A lot of it is man shit.
Leaked memo reveal what restaurants actually think of their customers. First of all, I didn't even know that was a thing, the restaurant.
Well, that's what we got to set that up. Twin Peaks, where they had this fight, is basically...
It's a titty house.
It's the next... It's like I think Hooters? It's more titties than Hooters.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's basically a It's not a strip club.
Okay.
But if you want to see titties but also get some, you know, fairly decent wings,
mm-hmm.
you go to Twin Peaks, and then you didn't go to a strip club. You can say, I didn't go to a strip club.
I didn't go to a strip club.
It's a family establishment.
Popularly known as restaurants, which I don't know if that's popular because I didn't even know that was a thing.
They make it a thing by giving it a goofy-ass title.
The franchise that catered to the male gaze by employing scantily clad waitresses are enjoying booming business even as the rest of the restaurant industry has been struggling. Case in point, Twin Peaks, a Texas-based chain that was founded in 2005 to provide a racier alternative to the ubiquitous Hooters franchise, was the fastest-growing restaurant chain.
Yeah, they're wearing less there.
Isn't that kind of like the Tilted Kilt? There's a chain called the Tilted Kilt.
Probably.
I think they have women that dress that.
Twin Peaks attributes its success to a basic understanding of the sexes.
Is that a chain?
This is a memo.
I want to go there.
Men are simple creatures, and so you don't have to get too crazy to get them in the door. Kirsten Colby, the director of marketing for Twin Peaks franchise, told the Huffington Post earlier this year. She said that beer, sports, and beautiful women are all it takes.
Drugs.
Let me tell you something.
Dirt. Wranglers.
If this was in a memo, and she says this leaked memo reveals what they actually think of their customers, they're 100% right.
Of course they are.
I don't know what the fuck this article is about.
Well, all right, let's just analyze
this. Are you fucking serious?
They say men are simple and you just wave some titties in their face, right? They just had a shootout over a guy stepping on a foot.
Yeah.
So, of course, this is their clientele.
100% right. And by the way, we at 3GO endorsed this. Are you fucking serious? I can sit down, eat wings, watch sports, and look at titties? What?
And until the bikers
give me
up.
Any other thing that goes along with that, and I'm like, yeah, fine, add that too. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, where is that? Is that a national chain?
I think it's not. It's not across. It's not like Hooters. But it's a chain.
Yeah, I want to go.
It's a chain. You know, I like the mom and pop restaurants.
An internal branding memo provided a Think Progress from a current employee at a Twin Peaks restaurant who preferred to remain anonymous over fears about losing their job backs up that claim. The employee said the memo was distributed to all the franchises nationwide as well as handed out to waitresses. According to the document, the restaurant wants to target guys. They want to target guys now
who
love to have their ego stroked by beautiful girls. You mean every guy.
Yeah.
I think.
Right. So, and by the way, restaurants, strip clubs do that too, but Hooters does that. And just generally, when you go into a bar and there's a hot chick bartender, why do you think she got hired?
She's
the
hot.
Same reason.
And promises to provide an environment that feeds their ego with the attention they crave. Yeah. They describe the typical customer as someone who likes attention from beautiful girls
and
being recognized in front of guys, as well as someone who doesn't want to be asked what he's thinking. What the fuck is shit about?
This could be a treatment for a Rihanna video. I mean, everyone does this.
This seems like a joke. It seems like... The article, I can kind of see
the
memo.
Like,
I could kind of see the memo going out being like, look, this is what the fuck we're doing here. Do y'all understand?
Yeah.
Well, the article
this
is like,
what we're about.
The tone of the article is like, look what we discovered. no, everyone already knew that.
Fucking simpletons.
Of course you knew that.
The waitresses employed at Twin Peaks are given discounts at gyms, nail salons, and tanning salons, as well as a diet menu to help them avoid gaining any weight.
Okay.
Some of his locations hold lingerie weeks, during which waitresses don their lacy underwear. Okay. But the restaurant chain's internal memo aimed at guys, is a reminder that deeply entrenched gender roles can also impact men. In a society where men are assumed to be simple creatures who never want to talk about what they're thinking or feeling, there's a lot of room for more nuanced explorations of masculinity, something that research confirmed has demonstrably negative consequences for men's health. Are you fucking serious with this bullshit?
Why must they provide nuanced exploration of masculinity at Twin Peaks? That's not what you're there for.
And why did they even leak that? I mean, what's the point?
Because some woman at the thing, either some woman or some dude who's trying to fuck women,
who failed at fucking.
Are we supposed to be angry at a guy? Supposed to be angry?
We're not.
What do you mean?
I think they want us to be.
Yeah, they this is red meat for the white knights, basically.
We're not.
Well, that's what we want. I mean,
I can't believe
there's a couple of guys that we would shit on about it. Be like, come on, man.
I'm gonna start my own restaurant.
First of all, you're lying. If you're a dude and you like, well, I don't like going to Hooters. Okay, I get that. But if you shit on other men for going to Hooters and you're like, I don't know why any man would go through that, I'm like, get the fuck out of my face.
Because I go there sometimes. You know why men go to Hooters. I go there to get takeout. And yeah. like the girl, when I come in, the girls be like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, I'm just going to get takeout. They're like, fuck.
Oh, okay, right this fuck way. Yeah. Sir. Sir.
That's why you go to a strip club. Yeah. You don't go to a strip club because the shit is real. You go to a strip club for the fantasy that strippers can. Now, there are guys that do go into strip clubs because they think the shit is real. They're delusional.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're fucking, totally wants
they're
me.
Fucking
that's
sucker.
Why they have 15 bouncers per dancer.
Suckers.
I'll fall in love with the Outback Steakhouse girl.
Yeah, but I mean, you go to a strip club because when you're in there for the whatever amount of time that you're in there, you're the king while you're in. I used to do a bit about that. You're the king while you're in there. You're not the king in any other aspect of your life.
You're the king of this little area.
But you're the king
area.
In this little 3x5 area. You're the king right there. And these women treat you as such. You give them some money, and you walk the fuck out of there.
For as long as that Rihanna song lasts, basically. You are the king.
And by basically. The way, that is how we view being a king. Women at your beck and call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like that's kind of like, you're the king, and that's the spoils of being a king. That's right. Why... Whenever you see men talk about like rich and famous men, professional athletes, oh, he probably gets laid all the time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's the first thing you got before even riches. It's like, oh, but he's fucking a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. When people talk about Derek Jeter, two sentences in, you're talking about
all the women,
he's been with over the course of his career. Just, oh, Jesus Christ, he's been with some of the hot. I'm like, yeah.
I actually don't even think about that at all. Yeah. I mean, I respect women.
2 seconds in, that's what you're talking about.
I respect women, and I don't think they should be treated this way. I am a nuanced masculine man. I'm going to start a restaurant called Itty Bitty Titty Committee.
Well, I you know what it is, though. I think so.
They all wear fucking burkas.
Everybody tries to deny, a lot of people, now it seems like people try to deny the animalistic nature that we all have.
Yeah.
And like we want to be above it all, but we still have to shit.
Well, it's men.
Take a shit.
It's men who want to get next to women.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now the new angle to get next to women. You know what I have found that is funny is women don't like men like that. Ultimately.
They like friends like that.
Yeah. Thank you, Andy.
They have a lot of friends.
Yeah. Ultimately, in the end, they don't like women like that.
They have
that.
A lot of friends that smell their hair when they walk by.
Right.
You know, like, oh, shit. So, okay. Yeah.
I'm not saying women want to be with some dude that dominates him and treats him bad. No, I'm not saying that.
They want to know that you're a man.
But you definitely want to be with a man who's a man. You want that. They're never happy. They're never happy. We see it. We've seen it a lot with comics. We see it a lot. Try to play this. I'm the sensitive, gentle soul.
The friend.
Blah, blah,
don't
D,
listen
friend.
To.
And then they're together for a while and then they break up.
Yeah, well, most relationships end in break up.
Yeah, well, that's true. But
99.9%. I mean,
you can see that shit coming. You're like, this shit ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. Wait till she gets funny enough to not hang out with
you. To not need you no more.
Do you teach her how to write?
Your shit is done. You are done, son.
She gets on girl code.
We're not seeing each other anymore. You know, it's fine.
I don't think I
it's
need
fine.
You.
There's always a new girl starting comedy. There's always a new one.
Talk to this guy in the leather jacket.
That's the black guy getting killed at the beginning of the movie for comedians. Yeah.
It's just a cliche now.
Yeah.
Because that's become a new thing now is men acting like that to be in the company of women. That's definitely a newer type.
There's always been that dude.
Thing.
Yeah.
But now there's a movement
of
those dudes.
I think there's a lot more of them now.
Yeah.
Because now they write blogs and they write.
Well, they comment on
posts.
Blogs.
They complain about Game of Thrones. And,
right.
Yeah.
You know, all this kind of stuff.
I don't watch it, but they have all the rapes and stuff and people get beheaded and everything.
Every one of those rapes I could let's not say defend, but I could defend them as part of the storyline.
Well, bad things happen.
In that world, yes.
Yeah.
In that world, yeah. I don't even want to go down that road because it's fucking
well, there's,
it's like, been ridiculous
we were,
to me.
We were talking about this before we came in. We were talking about this outside how everyone, comics on Facebook they'll try to get their likes.
Yeah.
To make people like them or they'll grandstand they'll have this straw man argument about how rape is wrong. Of yes, it's wrong.
Yeah.
And your point is, it's like, what the, like, we know this thing is wrong.
Fishing for likes.
Yeah, the Manny Pacquiao Mayweather fight, there was no more room left on the grandstand for that shit. And it was just so annoying. People that people that tweet about comic books and all this other, I'm not going to say it's a not, but people that tweet about, like, shit all day, then because Mayweather Pacquiao was a big thing, now it's like, oh, you've never fucking seen a fight before.
Yeah, I had a discussion
with
because
you want to be that. You want to be on the right side of things. It's very important for people to be on the right and visibly on the right side of things. And then those people come to comedy shows and they don't laugh because they don't want the person sitting next to them to see them laugh. So it affects them in other aspects of life too, but the whole point is to get is so people will know, oh, this guy's he's good because it's an ego stroke, especially with comics because they need ego strokes, and you don't always get it from the show you did last night. So you get it from, I mean, you know, just
and you
just,
should be trying to get it from the show.
From the show,
you should be channeling this into comedy. Hopefully, I mean, if the status has that point of view and is also funny, if it has the you know Mayweather beats women, it's a good joke.
Yeah,
okay. Or if it's a something more insightful than just the I can't believe you people watch that fight.
Yeah. I had a thing with a guy who he told me that Mayweather is the best boxer and he's the best boxer ever. And he was like, "Yeah, man, look, I've been watching boxing for about 2 years. I've seen like six of Mayweather's fights. Is it really six whole fights all the way through, beginning to end? And he's the best boxer ever. All right, bro, you say so, man.
Is he top five?
Is Mayweather top five
best boxers ever?
I don't think so.
He's arguably one of the greats.
He's top ten.
He's got a ton of talent.
I used to
He does. Yeah. That's the thing that makes me probably is up beyond. It's just on boxing. This is the third week I've talked about this. Skill wise, Mayweather is damn near untouchable.
Yeah.
Skill wise,
he's a tactician.
He's damn near untouchable. Skill wise, he does not have the heart to fight. He does not. He fights from fear. That's why he's so good skill wise. He sells himself as a killer. All the people around him, he sells himself as a killer, and you tune in and you watch, and you think, oh, he's going to fucking destroy somebody.
Right.
He's not going to do that.
He's a fun killer.
He doesn't have that in him. He does not.
He's a salesman. He's the Daniel Plainview of boxing.
You know what? He's
I'm
not
a boxing man.
I'm not a boxer. I'm a hustler.
Yeah. And it's just.
And people bought it.
I bought the fight based on Pacquiao.
But you're a fan of boxing.
Yeah, so I bought it based on Pacquiao. I didn't buy it based on Mayweather. I know what Mayweather's going to do. I would not buy a Mayweather fight. I bought it based on Pacquiao. Pacquiao hurt his shoulder. I didn't know that.
Doesn't he hate gays or something? What does he do? Doesn't he hate...
This one just came out.
Like, Pacquiao is he's very...
He's religious.
He's very, very religious.
The bane
of politically, everything. They were trying to do something in the Philippines about... providing free birth control, and he voted against that. He's against gay marriage. It's just kind of what you would expect.
A religious
guy.
He's basically their version of a conservative.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
He broke from the Catholic... He was a hardcore Catholic, and he broke from the Catholic Church and went into some other similarly strict religion.
Is that Manny documentary any good?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I want
to
see
it. But, I know his history from when he was early, his early fights.
Like, one of his friends got killed in the ring or something? Is that...
Yeah, but that happens over there, man. It's fucking crazy. It's like fighting over there is crazy.
he got killed by a knife.
Something happened to his family. Like he moved away from his family to box
as a young boy. Yeah.
Okay.
They were so poor.
Man. Oh, did they Yao Ming him? They sent him off to a fucking academy when he was a child.
It's not so much an academy; it's you just go away.
Go away. That's what they do in China with basketball players.
Go away like you're on the streets basically, and then go to fight. Yeah. I think he has a brother that fought too. Wasn't as good, but he did it for a while. Yeah,
I was a fan. I tapped out of boxing when Pernell Whitaker lost. And I couldn't take it.
That guy is hands down. He's the best 135 pounder probably in history, which is lightweight. He's probably the best lightweight in history. That's the first thing.
He's from here, right?
Secondly, he's from Norfolk,
Virginia. Yeah.
As far as where I would rank him in boxing. Purnell's probably Purnell's easily top five.
Yeah, he was great, and it to see
and
him lose.
Who beat
De La Hoya beat him? Who beat him?
Yeah, De La Hoya beat him on a split.
And I was just like, ah. And then Roy Jones.
Yeah,
fought
De La Hoya
too
fought
long.
Him. He was like 87 years old.
Yeah,
you know,
stayed in it too long.
Yeah, but Purnell, I've seen Purnell train up close. He's so good, so good, so rough guy. Just like Whitaker doesn't want to get hit at all. He doesn't want to hit nobody. He's like, look, if I only got to hit you three times, I'll hit you three times.
Mayweather, you mean?
Mayweather, excuse me. Why don't I hit you? Whitaker's like, I want to knock you out and not let you hit me.
One of my favorite bits, Martin Lawrence on his Talking Shit album, he said, yeah, I used to box. Yeah. And my coach used to say, one thing about Martin, he ain't going to get hit. And he ain't going to hit nobody either.
I dance all motherfucking night. Good round, motherfucker. Good round.
He was, yeah.
So that's part of it is like you said about how like people just want to be either on the right side of something or they decide to argue some point. I saw a post that a girl put up about rape jokes. Says, I'm tired of rape jokes. Nobody's saying any rape jokes anymore. If you're not a professional, don't say rape jokes. I'm like, all those professionals that you like who do rape jokes, it took them a while to get good at that.
Yeah.
Right.
You would take that away from a young comic trying to develop, trying to figure his way.
Like, I'm young in the game, but I know, like, it's like, what annoys me is, like, comedians, and I'm using quotations, they talk about stuff on Facebook, but it don't seem like they doing the work on stage.
They're not.
It's like you see people. I see people grandstand on Facebook, and when I see them live, it's like, this is it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's where we're at.
Well, part of that too is again developing. Like you might have these detailed opinions that are on very serious topics, but you're not qualified yet as a comedian to turn that into comedy. So you're just going to talk about your shitty job. But you might have these views, you just haven't figured out how to articulate.
Whoa, I do that too.
Yeah. Like, well, you might not know how to articulate that in a comedic way. So,
right.
So for now, you have it. You talk about this stuff in conversation. Facebook is now the in conversation, as opposed to hanging out with your friends. You're talking to your friends online. Everyone can read your conversation. But you know, there are people who are very serious minded who are very silly comedians, just because that's where they're humor. That's where their mind goes for humor. But where their mind goes for other things, they go to, you know, whatever, some serious thing. So
I just don't see people challenging the game.
You ain't got either.
Challenging like Lupe Fiasco has a line in the record Superstar.
I like records.
He says like, did you improve on the design? Did you do something new? And it just seems like everybody's just trying to be liked,
yeah.
And it, as opposed to just trying to do the work.
A like is as good for some people as good as a laugh. You know what I mean? It's the same euphoric feeling when you check your notifications. You've got like, oh shit, 4 likes. I only put that status up 8 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Oh shit! And so you get taken on that mental ride, and you're just you're trolling for likes. That's you're getting laughs during the day.
There's also a lot of people on stage doing material that has no threat to it of doing badly. Just no threat of this might bomb. If it bombs, it's going to bomb because you didn't say it right. It's not going to bomb because the material has any type of threat to it where people may not like it. I put up a post the other day. It was like I was a lot funnier when I first started doing stand-up than I am now. I'm not nearly as funny as I used to be. I'm just not.
Same thing Patrice said.
Yeah, and I completely understand what he means by that. When I think about that, I'm not nearly as funny as I used to be. Not anymore. I'm just not a funny guy. I have opinions, very strong opinions. If you listen to this podcast, you've heard them.
Really? You do?
Yeah. Isn't that weird? And people may not like the shit you're going to talk about. But again, I want to talk about them.
Well, that's the thing. Some people have serious minds, but when it comes to humor, they're silly.
They're silly. So there's not anything wrong with
you
that.
You can't expect them just to have threat in their act.
Yeah, just for me. That's not anything wrong with it. Just for me. It's just I see a lot of young comics now. And I probably did too. It's just that there weren't this many comics when I was coming in. When I first started, there just weren't. There weren't that many people doing comedy. I started doing comedy in San Antonio. It was like 8 people on all of San Antonio doing stand-up. And like 4 of them were funny.
And 2 of them were banditos.
So yeah. You know, one was a Cossack. They fought a lot.
They fought and, a little dual act. You know, a lot of yelling.
Now there's so many people trying to do stand-up.
Well, I think when you're in the – I think you can't hold people who are in the early stages to a standard of having particular type of material because they're still just learning how to stand on stage and speak into a microphone. I mean, they might grow into that later, but expecting that, I think, is expecting too much because they're still just figuring out how to get a laugh, how to make
people
laugh.
Yeah, I know. It's just I see so much more of it now because there's so many people trying to do stand-up.
Yeah. Just walk out the room.
I do.
Just leave. Fake phone.
Yeah, it's not like you don't have to be, you don't have to be like Patrice or Burr or anything like that, but I think you should be shooting for whatever your version of that is. I went up and saw Burr at during his Wilbur Week run, and I was just like, I got to get better.
Yeah,
that's how I felt when I watched.
Like it's not like it's
when
not.
When I watched him live, I'm like, ugh.
It's
but
like
you would also get that feeling if you saw Mitch Hedberg or maybe Rory.
If I see somebody have a good set, it's like I gotta aspire to step my game up. I was talking to Burr last week.
Oh,
and
Bill Burr?
You want to pick that up for you that you just dropped?
Bill yeah, his Burr? Name.
Pick
yeah.
that up.
And
I was
heavy.
Chatting with Bill Burr.
That's fucking heavy.
I was chatting with comedian Bill Burr of the Monday Morning Podcast.
Did you guys hear that drop?
And there the various Netflix specials. Wow, yeah. I heard. I think right. We heard it.
Don't break the microphone.
Did you hear that Jesus. One drop?
I think he just broke the mic.
That name Jesus. Hit the floor.
What I liked about talking to him was the fact that he's still trying.
Yeah,
he's still surgery. Working. And it's like, even him at that level, like I saw him, you know, do, his, I'm not going to give anything away, but he said he had this really great bit that he's working on. And I thought from his last special, that helicopter bit was like a signature bit. And I was like,
no,
no. And I was like, I told him, I said, that's your new helicopter bit. Yeah. And he was like, dude, that means a lot. He shook my hand. He's like, that means a lot coming from another comic. And I'm thinking, dude, you're light years beyond me.
That feels good, doesn't it?
But yeah.
When an established comic treats you like you're equal to them.
Yeah.
They see
even
you
though,
as an equal.
Even though you're not. But
yeah.
But it was.
That feels good. You're like, this guy thinks I'm like the same as him.
And I'll tell you something off mic after we're done. But, yeah. But the way that he was like, he was still going for it and still trying to push himself. So I, at my level, I should be doing that too. And everybody else should be doing it to whatever they're going to be. If they're going to be silly, be the best silly guy or try to strive for that. And like, I mean, I just want to see that.
You know, the thing about watching a Mitch Hedberg, when I watch a guy like a Mitch Hedberg or a guy like Rory, is like they're so far away from what I do that I don't feel. When I see a guy like Burr, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta fucking.
He's in your lane.
I got a fucking.
Or you're in his lane.
Knuckle. What the fuck am I doing? I think that. Yeah. When I see a guy like Mitch Hedberg, a guy like Rory, I'm like, I can't do that. So
right.
That's just not what I. That's not what I. I don't do that. So it doesn't feel the same. It's impressive to watch. That's not to say it's not. It's very impressive to watch.
The guys
but I just,
at these
I don't
open mics,
that.
Their guy might be Dave Attell, who's more like silly, dirty, not necessarily taking on any. Anything.
It could just be me being a curmudgeonly old man, not wanting to just be like, ah.
Right.
I've seen a lot of comedy over there. That's another thing.
Kids today.
It's like I've seen a lot of comedy. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of comedy. So after a while, you're just like, I don't think I want to see, I don't want to see that again.
Well, it's like when I be so self-absorbed, but it's like when I saw him do, like I saw him at Westbury in Long Island. And when I saw that helicopter bit for the first time, it was like I went through a range of emotions like, oh my God, this is hilarious. This is amazing. Should I quit comedy?
Yeah, I have had that
and
feeling.
Like you just go through.
I'll never be that good.
And I'll never be that great. Yeah, but then this part of me was like still.
I have it in me.
I'm still. You know. But I mean, it just seems like. I think people think that there's a shortcut to everything.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, that's just a frustration I have. And I was talking to Carmen Lynch, another name drop, and she just
lighter.
Told me, but still.
That was heavy, but
two-time
still.
Letterman appearances. I was working with everybody's credits, but mine, I don't have it. But you know, she was telling me, don't look at it. Just post what you got to post and leave and go work. Yeah.
Just drop and leave.
Yeah.
Well, that's very gangster, Carmen.
Keep your head down.
Just dropping and leave.
Yeah. You know, but I don't know. That's just a personal thing, but yeah. Get your jokes up.
Josh Duggar.
Did
he touch somebody?
He touched more than somebody. He touched several bodies. Yeah.
We all, you all know 14. About Josh Duggar by now. Josh Duggar, I guess, is he the oldest boy?
He's the oldest Duggar.
He's the oldest
of the 19 kids. He was the first one. He was the oldest.
They're like 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, like that.
Yeah, basically. He's like 26, 27.
Yeah.
Which means, you know how excited he was every time they were going to have a new child?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, a new victim.
Oh, he did it with his.
Yeah, well, he did it with
at least one of them.
With someone outside the family and some people inside the family, including, I read something about how he was caught coming out of one of the bedrooms or something.
Jesus.
And apparently one of the girls.
12 years ago, so that makes him 15.
Well, one of the girls is still. He said he was 14. He's 26 now.
12 years
apart. One of the girls is still apparently a minor, which means she was like 4.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's the thing that I 5. Wanted to know, because they were like, he was 14. And he was molesting underage children. I'm like, he's underage too. So are we talking 11 or 12? I was just talking to somebody about this tonight, one of the young comics. And I was like, was the kid like, so he's 14.
Playing doctor, you mean?
Yeah, were they like 12, 13, 11, 12, 13? But if they were like 9, God, come on, dude. You got a fucking problem.
Yeah, that's.
You know.
Well, you know, he had a problem, and he brought it to God,
and God cured him.
God,
well,
that's the shit.
Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips made a
shout
point.
Out.
Yeah, he made a point that he's like TLC just seems to not background. I don't want to muffle up what he said, but they seem to have.
I saw that post.
They don't fact check like vet these people. Yeah. Like you had,
they don't want to know
Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. Now this, and was it something else? Was
the Duck Dynasty dudes?
Duck Dynasty.
That's not on TLC.
Oh, the dude is the what's the bounty hunter guy? Is that TLC?
Dog? No, those are both A&E. I think.
Okay.
I think the ducks.
I think it was more about reality.
More of a reality TV. Yeah. Thing.
Ducks and the dog are A&E. I think.
Okay.
And then I think TLC also had Toddlers and Tiaras, which had
they
some
did.
Scandalous
yeah.
shit
scandalous
going on.
Shit, yeah.
That's Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah,
Honey
but then just even the show itself was like, well, what are we getting out of this other than weird gay guys who aren't out of the closets lusting after children and judging how hot they are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird shit.
Yeah. Well, this kid is part of Tony Perkins's family council, which is fucking bullshit. Tony Perkins is a deranged religious dude. And this guy is part of his organization, so he runs around railing about how
the Family Research Council.
Family Research
Council. He stepped down from that.
About he ain't got no choice. He runs around railing about how the gays will
destroy families.
Destroy families and chase after your children and just make your children be gay.
Is he gay too?
That's the first shit I thought. I was like, dude, are you gay?
Because every time somebody goes hard against gay people, it just makes me think that
immediately you're like, we have another story we'll be coming to in a second. But immediately you're like, you're fucking gay. You're gay, right?
you're gay, gay
too.
Bro.
You're gay too, aren't you? Aren't you gay? Come on, man. Just tell me you're gay.
Maybe he's straight, but he has some shit going on. He has skeletons in his closet. He wants to point the finger to get focus off of him. So it's like this dude, like the Duggar guy. I have this weird sexual thing.
Yeah.
So let me just lash out so that no one will look in. You know.
Of course.
So gay people, like the Family Research Council, lobbies against laws, and he was like the executive director, the Duggar guy. He was named the director. Lobbies to have laws against like gay marriage and gay rights, et cetera, et cetera. They're considered an anti-gay hate group by the. Was it SPLC?
Yeah, Southern Law, Poverty Law.
Where are they from? Where are the Duggars from?
Arkansas. Atlanta,
Arkansas, okay. One of the white racist states.
They're from Arkansas.
Arkansas, there you go.
And he actually lives or moved to the D.C. area when he got the job with the Family Research
D.C.
Council.
D.C. area?
So he's in the area. He might be around here. Yeah. We might see him somewhere.
He might be around here,
right now.
Get some mumbo sauce on the chicken wings and shit.
Put it on that young vagina.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's where he's at.
I had a weird moment yesterday when I was
with a young vagina.
No. Okay. But you made me think of
This podcast coming to a close,
and I'm gonna take a hiatus from my podcast. And I'm gonna punish myself. I was sitting in my car, and there was some kid. I didn't know they were kids at first.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that looks like, I guess that's a MILF. And then she started getting closer, and I was like, oh, that's a little girl.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I've had that same moment.
So if you think it's a MILF, if you don't know if it's a MILF or a middle schooler, it's a middle schooler.
Yeah, I've had that same moment. I've talked about that on the podcast. There's a little girl who watches Princessa for us sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
She's like 14 years old. She's like 5'11", 6 feet tall already. So I'm pulling in the park one day, and I see this girl walking in some short shorts, long-legged girl in short shorts. I'm like, who the fuck is that mother? Oh.
Oh.
You see her face. You're like, oh, okay.
Never mind.
Like, who the fuck?
Like, it's a child.
Who the fuck? Yeah, she's like 5'11".
Well, this Duggar dude, they caught him, right? The family caught him. And yeah, this is they the were shit like, about at first it. They were like, hey, stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll check back in 8 months. And so then they caught him again, months later.
He's got a taste for it.
Sneaking out of one of the daughter's bedrooms.
Got
or
a
something,
taste for it.
You know, on his tiptoes, like Spy versus Spy or something. and then they were like, all right, we're gonna have you talk to our friend who's a cop, who's gonna set you straight with a good conversation. Yeah. Well, first they sent him away to a Christian camp, which he didn't really actually do any Christian.
Tell him about the cops background.
Hold on. First, he went to a Christian camp to unlearn whatever to get over this, and all he did was like build a gazebo. Like he didn't do any shit.
If you have a problem, you build a gazebo.
Yeah, he worked for 12 years a slave.
You're gonna make two gazebos.
He worked for Sprite. He got to meet Brad Pitt, and he got away.
Two gazebos and a Hail Mary. He'll be absolved.
And then he went and had a stern talking to by a cop friend of the family.
Tell him about the cop.
Then later went to jail for 50 years for child porn.
Say that again for me, Andy.
He went to jail for 50 years. So they probably like
50 years.
They probably
you know how many children he molested to get 50 years?
No, he didn't molest. It was porn. It was child porn, which they probably found on his computer. Maybe he molested too, but it is said the article said child porn. So anyway, they tried to basically self-police their kid. Like, oh, the church elders... We're going to talk to him, and he's going to build a gazebo, and then we're going to do, I don't know, a soapbox derby. We'll figure something out.
That's like Louis' bit about like the child that he did on SNL. Did you guys talk about
that? That was great.
We haven't talked about that.
Well, hold on. Okay. So then in 2006 or whenever it was, like, because this whole thing had been going on for a while, after the statute of limitations had run out, then they went and told the cops about it. And so his statement when he was like, yes, I did this. So I talked to the cops and I was counseled and I'm over it now. Like, yeah, they hid you from actual law enforcement for like 3 years. Look, the statute of limitations. They probably had that shit circled on their calendar. Like, oh, this is now you're not guilty anymore. And then he went to talk to the cops. So they were hiding him and trying to let the church discipline him.
Yeah.
That's and like, intentionally kept him away from
You have that uncle that they keep. The creepy uncle you keep away from.
He's the creepy uncle, except he's their brother.
Right.
The older brother. And what happened was they were going to be on Oprah in 2006, and someone sent Oprah a letter. Like
that fell out of a book.
Like some just anonymous shit. Like, hey, by the way, this one of them touches kids. Send Oprah Oprah's people notified, like, I don't know, some federal department that looks into this shit. And that's why law enforcement got involved. But it had been basically 3 years, so.
Man, that shit is.
Yeah, well, you know, it's we have 19 kids. There's probably a couple of gay ones.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple of gay ones.
There's, I mean, he might be gay, too. He's got four kids, but that doesn't mean shit. Nothing.
So.
Gonna have a molester in there. You have 19 children. You're gonna have a molester.
He gets to be the molester uncle later. Think about that.
Yeah, to like 90 nephews and nieces.
Yeah, he's the molester uncle.
Fucked up.
You know, it's just the way they handled it tells you everything. They feel like they're above laws as long as God says it's okay. Even though you don't know if God says it's okay because He's not talking to you.
Yeah,
oh, He's talking
not
to
you. He's talking you fucking.
He's talking to the quiverful church.
Yeah. And then all these Republicans are rushing to defend him.
Well, Huckabee.
Yeah.
I don't know about all of these.
Well, Huckabee's kid skins animals, which is fucking hallmark of a serial killer.
Wow.
Yeah, his son's nuts.
Hey, at least he's not shoving dead
that
cats
is the
in people's
hallmark
faces.
Of a serial
motherfuckers
killer.
Don't have no PlayStation or Xbox.
We didn't kill him.
You were still shoving your cats
they were
in
brought
people's
brought to us.
How old is he?
His kid, Huckabee's kid, he's late teens. Maybe in his 20s now? Oh, as a teenager, as a late teenager, he's skinning cat. That's literally like a hallmark of a serial killer, like a sociopath.
That's,
like you're killing animals.
It's crazy, man.
And like taking enjoyment out of killing animals.
When I was 17, I was obsessed with one girl. Not in a creepy way, but I was in love
you
with the girl.
You want to skin her and wear her head?
No, I was.
No, then you were fine then.
Wanted to just go to fucking Applebee's with her. You know, and.
And then skin her and wear her head?
No, dude. And then, like, you know, God, you think shit. You think about, was I just lame?
Well,
I just liked the girl who's in the...
Wait, was she your age?
Yeah, she was...
Same grade?
Same grade.
So what, did you actually express this to her?
Oh, yeah.
And what did she say?
She didn't like me that way.
That's what she said to you?
She said, just want to be friends. And she cried.
So you brought this to her, like, hey, I want to talk to you about something.
I was such, and I still am, a fucking, like... R&B dude, because I was listening to Brian McKnight and shit.
Oh no,
I didn't know that you can't do that,
right?
And so that was just it was just all bad. But I mean, when I was that age, it was just like, oh, I like this girl. I'm in the drama club, and I'm a kid. I want to go to just
right
normal shit,
right?
I was a JV basketball manager.
You were the manager?
Yeah.
Manager.
So what did that entail?
Isn't that usually a girl's job?
No, they had dudes do it.
No. I just did the stats. I just did the stats.
So you didn't run water
Texas,
out.
That's usually a girl's
Yeah,
job.
I was trying to pad the resume for college. And I liked going, you get to go to, got to go to different schools and stuff and go to games.
Meet other girls at different schools. Hey, what's up?
Really.
I'm the manager. Did you see me over there counting assists?
Did you see me with the stats? You know, fucking... No, I just did it because it was something to do.
I like numbers. What's yours? Yeah. So,
I forgot that I did that. It's like, damn, I used to do that.
So you had this girl that was in drama that you had a crush
on? She wasn't in drama club, okay. But there was another girl that I should have talked to her. And she was a sophomore, and I was like, oh, she's too young.
Yeah.
And I wanted, like, when that girl didn't go to prom with me, I wanted to go with this other girl. And I think her dad was like, oh, you fucking too young, get some money in your own grade or some bullshit like that.
What an asshole.
And that girl ended up going to a school near me, and I went to hang out with her and when we were in college.
Right.
And she was like, remember, what if we were dancing together? She's like, remember we could have went to prom together? And I was like, well, that was 6 years ago.
Yeah, but we did, and I stayed home listening to One Last Cry.
My shattered dream. You know what the song was? The song was... What was the song that he had with Mace?
You could be mine.
If you don't love
I have that song.
That was a song.
You could be mine.
Can't understand how he can treat
remember that
you.
Song.
And Mace would be like, what the deal, honey? Insecure
was
feel,
a
honey.
Horrible part.
I might be slow a little bit.
Plus, I know you like Mace in a lot of ways, and it's hard to be home when you're lonely on the holidays.
Yeah, that's a three-syllable
word. You could
word.
Be mine.
Yeah, that was, he had, my, Brian McKnight had some jams. I was just a goofy
So you
idiot.
Asked this girl, and she was like, I don't see you in that way. I don't think of you.
Yeah, she was kind of weird.
What'd you say to her? Were you like, I want to take you out on a date?
It was just a weird. I don't know. I don't remember.
This is actually the song.
I don't know.
Do you want to plug in?
That's One Last Cry.
It's Goodbye, My Love.
I don't know that one too well.
Why don't you just plug in so we can get the high
How
fidelity?
Do you not know that?
What's the jam? Never Felt This Way is on that one, right?
First album.
Yeah. Anytime was the one that kind of that I liked. Is it playing?
You got to turn up on your end.
Okay. I have to hear the hook.
That 90s beat.
Yeah, it's very 90s right there.
Dance,
someone's doing the Running Man video.
Fast. One guy in the corner is doing
the flat top.
Look, girl.
That song's a jam. That was a jam. I can see you singing this.
No, I didn't know that one back then. I knew anytime.
Come with the hook. When we were making love, I wonder who you were thinking of. A lot of breakup songs on this album, by the way.
Yeah, and I just I was a sap. I still am.
Girl,
but.
So did you go to prom with anyone?
Yeah, I went with a girl.
Your third choice?
Yeah.
Was it your third?
It's just like a family friend.
Okay.
And she was cool. I think I told this story before. We went to the prom, and then we went to Checkers after.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we
yeah.
pulled up in the lot in the drive-thru, and I pretended that I was Mace, because I was like, "Yo, this is Mace. You trying to get some cheeseburgers?" I don't know how. I was pretty good at it back then,
yeah.
But
that was almost Cleveland from the Cleveland show you were doing. You almost went that route, was it?
I want to get some cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Cheeseburgers.
You sound just like a white man in person.
So you're Mace. Your Mace impression did not.
They thought I was Mace.
Oh really?
We were kidding, and the girls got the food. So like the girls grabbed the food from the window.
They snatched it.
Yeah, but they were just like, I just hid in the back. And they thought I was Mace. I don't know, some goofy high school shit. And then that girl did call me a couple days later and ask how the prom was. I was like, you were there.
Which girl? The young one?
I wanted to go with.
So that means she didn't have a good prom. She's calling you to compare notes.
I guess. Yeah, this was the keeping on the down low. Now, that's from Anytime, right?
Or it's Gold. The album's called Gold.
Gold? No.
Yeah. It's Brian McKnight Gold.
No, it's not.
Yes, I'm looking
that's
right
like,
at it.
You're probably looking at a greatest hits thing or something.
No, it's Brian McKnight Gold. That was the name of the album.
Maybe it's his greatest hits album.
It's a greatest hits
album. Maybe it's called Gold.
Maxine was 5'9", had a man she didn't mind. Walked up to me nice and slow. What she wanted, I did not know. Gave me her pager number.
Pager number.
Yep, taking it back.
Then she whispered in
took
my
it back.
Ear. She said, "My body wants your soul." Oh yeah.
I've never heard this song.
She said,
"Maybe I have." That
you
hooks,
probably, you,
it sounds familiar.
It.
You didn't go to the club enough. I've told you that before.
Yeah, I didn't go, and I didn't like R&B.
That was my favorite. Like I wanted to be an R&B.
We all
singer.
Wanted to be R&B
yeah.
singers. If you were in any kind of choir in the mid to late 80s,
it was
early
on
90s, you
I remember
to be
you. Brian McKnight was self-titled. I Remember Sing You was 1995.
Anyway. He used to say sweet things.
Acts like sweet girls.
It's this one. Deprived of both the things. Yeah, 1995.
What was the Mace song on?
Anytime, 97.
Same album, right?
That was later.
No, that was the next
Mace
album.
Mace wasn't out in 95.
I thought I had that song on here. I don't have that song. It's weird. I don't have that song.
We were spared of Mace in 95.
Ugh.
For Harlem World was good, though.
Come on, man.
For a retarded guy.
Come on, man.
Bad Boy. That song was fun.
Come on, man.
Mace just sounded retarded. That's all. I mean, I don't know how else to analyze him. He sounded like he was slow.
Yeah, come on, man.
I mean, he wasn't my favorite rapper, but I'm just saying, like, it was
well,
shit was
he
hot.
He can't be because he could barely rap.
Shit was hot back then. I was listening to Tribe Called Quest, Keith Murray, Redman, Eric Sermon. Remember they had
and
that
Mace,
album?
The and, Hit how, Squad. And Mace snuck in there on you. Mace.
It's just one album. Because Tribe had...
I can't believe you put Tribe Called Quest and Mace in the same sentence.
I'm talking about the rap that I was listening to back then.
What years were those?
Well, Tribe, Midnight Marauders was 93.
Okay.
Beats, Rhymes, and Life was 96.
96.
And then the Love Movement was 98. And then, like, Biggie.
Oh, of course.
You know. Had a Ray J album, his first one.
You had Ray J's first album?
Ray J's first album was good.
What was it called?
It was called... Fuck. It's
called Brandy's Brother.
Oh,
it was like a play on his name, like Do Ray J Me.
What's called like Brandy's Brother?
No, Ray of Sunshine.
I could get it for you right now, because he had a really good production.
Was it called Brandy's Brother?
No.
You know what? Well, this isn't Brian McKnight at all.
No. Did YouTube? No doubt. Anything You Want is the album.
This is why I didn't watch...
Because he had Kenny Lattimore and Rahsaan Patterson doing background vocals.
How did he get them on his album?
That's before they blew up. Because they were probably doing like...
Shorty Gets Down.
He had some good tunes.
All right, we can't go down this
before
road.
He became a thug.
Yo, yeah.
Yeah, his album came out...
He was a thug.
I think it came... you know, when he was trying pretending to be one, you know?
Who?
Ray J.
Oh, Ray J. Okay.
But he has some good jams.
What are we gonna talk about before we wrap this up? You just mentioned something. We blew by it. It's late and I'm tired.
We were talking about
Louis.
Yeah, let's finish it up.
Josh Duggar.
Ugh.
Josh Duggar into Louis.
We were talking about jokes.
There's the other.
All right, so
pastor that was.
I liked the monologue. Go.
I thought it was funny. I mean.
So did I.
It was just...
Louis' SNL monologue?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he talked about, like, the whole thing. There's a guy in the neighborhood that don't go to his house. What was his name? Jean-Louis. Like, don't go.
Hey, come, get in the car, I'll take you to McDonald's.
And he's like, and then the classic thing, he never liked me. And
yeah, my friend would go with him and just, okay, bye.
Yeah. He's like, oh, no. It was funny, and he did the racial stuff, the kids, like the Palestinian war with his daughters and all that. It was funny. It's Louis.
Yeah.
You don't book Louis on a show
to
not be Louis.
But I've seen all kinds of dumb shit. Like somebody said, dumb shit. Somebody said on a thing, well, don't the writers go and troll clubs and tell them, like, you think that Louis needed writers?
Oh, are you talking about the Mick Diflo thing?
Well, the Mick Diflo thing as well as the whole set. But the Mick Diflo joke, don't their writers go and watch comics and go? I was like, Louis wrote those jokes.
Those writers, I think they're at work.
Yeah.
They're at the office.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
They don't.
They're all day working on that week's
Louis
show.
Louis wrote those jokes.
Yeah, he wrote those jokes. Yeah, I think it's just parallel thinking. I mean, everybody's probably had somebody. I think Wyatt Cenac had a bit that he did.
I lost a bit to Wyatt.
I saw his special. I went to go see his special, his first one, and he said I had a bit about like Michael Jordan and his Hitler mustache, and like probably everybody had something, but his was like, I was like, oh shit, I can't do mine anymore. But it happens.
Here's the disadvantage that this guy that. Everybody was saying Louis' joke was like he never got to do it on television or anything. So
yeah, but the thing about that was beside the point. Everybody was, most of the blogs were like, did Louis go too far?
But it's just the click cycle. It's you have to talk about something. You have a website. You have to sell ads. Nothing happened this weekend, so fucking make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an easy one. Louis talked about. Pedophiles.
Yeah.
So did he go to, well, what is too far? If no one even asked those questions. What does that even mean? That's not a thing. What does he mean too far? Too far from what? Too far after what? Beyond what? It's not
far
a thing.
Far enough that I can ask this question.
Yeah. And then who gets to decide what far enough is? So all those conversations are just part of the cycle. Did Louis go too far? And then sometimes the next step of the cycle when they want to get you back on the comeback is, did the media go too far in criticizing Louis? Like, that's the... So they didn't do it with Louis' thing, but they do it a lot with these stories where it's just like, oh, we can manufacture even more bullshit off this. Every 2 days on the internet, there's something to be outraged about. And it's just all made up bullshit. And it's like, oh, you pull out your phone in the morning, like, oh, what is it this time? And then someone like me, the whole point of view was always like, oh, that's not offensive. People are stupid for being mad.
Yeah.
And now I'm in it too because they're also catering to that guy. Because it's almost like when they make that, you know, top 100 guitarist list, and then, you know, number one is like some fucking some awful guitarist.
Yeah.
It's to get you talking about it. Like, oh, this is stupid. So even the guy who hates it is talking about
it. To start the conversation.
Yeah. And all of it is just, Louis has nothing to do with it. He's just the chum. He's just, you throw it to the sharks and they chew it up and they shit it out, and the excrement is likes. And we're all getting shit on.
It's very graphic.
It's a big machine.
It's very graphic.
It's a big machine that's being fed, and it's shitting out likes and little hearts.
He blew right by me. He's not going to be denied.
All over us.
Saying this metaphor.
We're trying to get a piece of it. No, we're all trying to get a piece of it. Even though whether we love it.
Metaphor.
We're underneath it waiting.
Yeah.
We're all just trying to siphon some kind of attention off of this thing.
And the shit rained down on us.
Even the ones who are like, this is all bullshit, are trying to siphon some attention off of it. We're all just trying to like get our little piece, and it's just shitting all over us. And it's going to need to eat in 2 days, and we have to feed it again. And then when we feed it, we're like, what is this shit? I'm going to post about it, and we're going to get shit all over in the form of likes and little hearts on Instagram.
Any client, ladies and gentlemen.
And retweets. And favorites.
He is not bullshit.
It's the excrement of the internet, and we're
all podcasts at 1:30 in the morning.
No, I've thought about this for a long time. This is a whole thing.
Well, because when I saw it, I was like, oh, Louis.
Yeah.
And then I went to see.
I didn't even think. I just watched. I was like,
it's funny. Yeah, it's just
good
like
ass jokes
like,
right here. Right.
Well, a lot of the articles were not good ass like jokes if it, right sometimes here. With these things, it'll the article will be so and so went too far. But a lot of people writing the article.
But they said the same thing about Rock's monologue, too. And I thought the same thing watching it. I was like, these are some good-ass shows.
But that's
right
not
here.
What they said. What they say with Louis's article is not Louis fucked up. They say, did he go too far? I'm just asking. Now I got an article to write.
Well, what about this, though? When somebody goes to a show, like somebody goes to a show, and they talk about they didn't like the joke, or they say this guy went too far.
Right.
And then the comedian will write on Facebook, this is a joke I wrote. They said I went too far. They didn't like it. And then it's like other comedians, I know that
Fishing.
Joke. It's funny.
Fishing.
This guy's a funny guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't mean this. And then you have to keep explaining
Fishing
yourself.
Fishing for compliments.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people do that in real life, too.
Yeah.
Like, young women do that a lot, where they'll say like, "Oh God, I just feel so fat."
No, you're fucking hot.
You're fucking hot.
I'd still fuck you.
I would have taken you to prom, you know. Yeah. So like, it's a lot of that. There's a lot of fishing for compliments anyway.
Did you see that Amy Schumer skit about that she did about talk shows?
Yeah, where she was the ditzy guest.
Yeah. And like she's
I have never watched an Amy Schumer except one. I watched one Amy Schumer sketch.
Which
she's
one?
Got some
where
good
the guys
ones.
Are sitting around
shit.
The sitting around the table discussing her.
The focus group.
Oh, the 12 Angry Men thing.
No, the precursor to that. The focus group.
I watched one.
Oh yeah.
That was last season.
Amy Schumer. Right.
She's got some good sketch. That show is fairly good quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people who don't like Schumer were like, writers are good. Well, no, she's good too. Like, she's good on that show.
She's a good actress.
She's good in that environment. And she does have good writers.
Towson University.
Towson University.
Yeah. Yeah. A Marylander.
Maryland.
Not from Maryland, but she...
But she went to school in the area.
She repped this joint. She repped... She, even though she ain't from this joint...
She repped this joint, yo.
She repped this joint, young. I bet she had some mambo sauce or whatever.
Yeah. I've never had mambo sauce.
You know, you get some of that joint, right?
I've had Cajun Sparkle, though.
Oh, yeah.
That beats everything. Where are we at?
We got
to
wrap up.
Yeah, it's time
it's
to
late.
Wrap up, people.
It's 2 o'clock
it's
in the
late
morning.
For us.
My mom is not going to let me in the house.
I know.
We're getting a little punchy here.
My wife did not let me in mine.
We're going to just do this podcast for this week. We might put something out later this
it's
week.
It's possible.
We don't know.
We don't know yet.
Since you're at the end of it, it doesn't make sense to say break it up into 2 chunks.
No.
It's too late now, but you should have done that. So if it's still Monday, you're fucked.
Well, how long do we do?
Hour 40.
Hour 40.
Oh, we're pushing hour 40.
So we're going to flow, people. Listen, we want to thank Chris Lambert for sitting in with us today.
Thanks for letting me hang with you guys. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Come back on Thursday and see what's here. We can't tell you now if there's going to be something. Honestly, there may be something there. If there's not, just come on Monday. We'll be back for you.
Yeah.
And thanks, guys.
And review us and all that stuff, yeah. iTunes and Stitcher. Yeah, we got a couple Stitcher reviews. Thanks for those. Well, one day we'll read them. We haven't done that. But in iTunes, we've got a couple recently, too. So
nice.
Thanks for those.
Fantastic. So thanks so much. And as always, we thank you guys for anything you sent to us. We thank you guys for all the love you show us. Remember, I will be in New York starting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm at the Improv on the 9 o'clock at the Improv.
The Broadway
in New York City on Thursday night on the 9 o'clock show and on the 11 o'clock show. It's the 11 o'clock show is late. I'm going up late. The 9 o'clock show, I think I'm on earlier, though. So I'll be at those two shows. I don't know how long the sets are going to be, but I'll be at them. And on Friday, I'm at Courtney's show at the Creek in the Cave at 6 o'clock. I think it's just an open mic.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in there and fart off a little bit.
Yeah.
And watch my man Ted. Ted is there at the Creek in the Cave at 7 o'clock. He's doing it the week at the Creek. So he's there. So you want to see a good show, go see Ted Alexandro Friday night. I will be there drinking more than likely.
The Red Bull is wearing off.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
I'm very tired.
Crashing. He's coming down.
All right, people. So come on back on Thursday or Monday. We'll be here for you guys. Thanks so much for coming through. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Chris Lambert.
That's Chris Lambert, Jan. Thank you, big guys on. We are out. I kill you with a 6-minute shotgun.